Nehemiah chapter 6 tonight. The Bible said it came to pass when Sanballat and Tobiah, I guess that's how you say his name, and Geshem the Arabian, and the rest of our enemies heard that I had builded the wall and that there was no breach left therein, though at the time I had not set up the doors upon the gates. Now, Nehemiah is writing this under the inspiration of the Spirit of God, but everybody's aware that it's not one man that's builded this wall, right? And that it's not just one man that had not set up the doors. But if you look in earlier in the book of Nehemiah, it says, next unto him, next unto them, next unto him. There's a whole passel of people involved in this work here. But Nehemiah is the leader. In chapter number 6 and verse number 2, Sanballat and Geshem sent unto me, saying, come, let us meet together in some one of the villages in the plain of Ono. But they thought to do me mischief. And I sent messengers unto them, saying, I am doing a great work, so that I cannot come down. Why should the work cease whilst I leave it and come down to you? Yet they sent unto me four times after this sort, and I answered them after the same manner. Then sent Sanballat his servant unto me in like manner the fifth time, with an open letter in his hand, wherein was written, it is reported among the heathen, and the Gashmu saith it, that thou and the Jews think to rebel, for which cause thou buildest the wall, that thou mayest be their king, according to these words. Thou hast also appointed prophets to preach of thee at Jerusalem, saying, there is a king in Judah, and now shall it be reported to the king, according to these words, come now therefore, and let us take counsel together. You remember, I think it was a few Sundays back, Brother Brian was talking about Psalm 1, talking about the counsel of the ungodly. That's what is being set out here before Nehemiah. Come on down off that wall and let's talk. But it's going to be an ungodly counsel. And I'll show you that in a moment. Then I sent unto him, saying, there are no such things done as thou sayest, but thou feignest them out of thine own heart. For they all made us afraid, saying, their hands shall be weakened from the work, that it be not done. Miss Eve would have corrected their English right there. She would have said, finished. You're not cooking the wall. You're working on it. Amen. That's what she'll tell me when I use that word, when I'm supposed to say finished. Now therefore, O God, strengthen my hands. Afterward, I came into the house of Shemaiah and the son of Deliah and the son of Methabeel, who was shut up. And he said, let us meet together in the house of God within the temple. Oh, I guess it'd be better if the council that was going to be ungodly would take place in the house of God. Amen. He didn't care where to meet them. He just wanted them to come down, stop the work, and meet with them. Shut the doors of the temple, for they will come to slay thee. Yea, in the night will they come to slay thee. And I said, should such a man as I flee? And who is there that, being as I am, would go into the temple to save his life? Nehemiah said, I will not go in. Boy, he said two things here so far. I will not come down, and I will not go in with you. Amen. And lo, he said in verse 12, I perceived that God had not sent him, but that he pronounced this prophecy against me, for Tobiah and Sanballat had hired him. Therefore was he hired that I should be afraid and do so and sin, that they might have matter for an evil report, that they might reproach me. My God, think thou upon Tobiah and Sanballat according to these their works, and of the prophetess Neadiah, and the rest of the prophets that would have put me in fear. Look at verse 15. So the wall was finished in the 25th day of the month of Elul, and 52 days. And it came to pass that when all our enemies heard thereof, and all the heathen that were about us saw these things, that they were much cast down in their own eyes. For they perceived that this work was wrought of Nehemiah. That ain't what it said, is it? That this work was wrought of the Jews. That's not what it said, is it? They perceived that this work was wrought of our God. I want to say something to you tonight. I'll read the rest of the chapter. If we ever have the influence that God wants us to have in this community will have to perceive that this work is wrought of our God. Amen. It's not about our pastor. It's not about our people. But it's about our God. And they need to perceive that God is doing a work. Amen. On this hill. Now watch. The Bible said, moreover, in those days the nobles of Judah sent many letters unto Tobiah. And the letters of Tobiah came unto them. For there were many in Judah sworn unto him. Because he was the son-in-law of Shechaniah, the son of Ara. And his son Johanan had taken the daughter of Meshullam, the son of Berechiah. In verse 19, and they reported his deeds before me and uttered my words to him. And Tobiah sent letters to put me in fear. Let's pray for a moment. Father, I pray for the next few moments you'd help me to be a blessing, God, to our people. Lord, it's Labor Day weekend, and God, you've let me look at this work that's going on in the book of Nehemiah and in this chapter for just a few minutes. I pray, God, for just a few minutes this evening, you would, Lord, just illuminate our hearts and our minds, and God, give us ears to hear what the Spirit of God would say to us. Help us, our Father, to be mindful of the work that you've called us to. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. How many of y'all love Nehemiah? Do you know enough about him to love him? I mean, if you've never read through the book of Nehemiah, I'll guarantee you, the time you got through it, you'd fall in love with this man. Amen? He's a wonderful man of God. He's a wonderful leader to the people of God. But I want to look at this Labor Day here in chapter number 6 and talk about God's work for just a minute. And I just want to see help you to see some things that God let me see. Just three small little things that I believe that we need to keep before us as the people of God. Number one, there's an opportunity in the book of Nehemiah. There's an opportunity to work. I believe with all of my heart, listen to me, that anybody that wants to work in the work of God can find an opportunity to work in that work. How many believes that? Amen. There's a work to be done. It's God's work. It's a great work. But there's opportunity. You say, preacher, what do you mean? Well, when I see this, if you read the book of Nehemiah, you'll find out that there are some that chose to go to Jerusalem work, but there's some that chose to stay in Babylon. There's some that ran to the work, and there's some that just sat back and said, you know, I guess there'll be enough of them up there, you know, to do it. Amen? And so on this work, there's an opportunity. I want to say something. I believe in God's work, there's always an opportunity to do something for the Lord. How many believes that? Amen? And it may be in the shadows. It may be behind the scenes. It may be where nobody sees it. But I tell you right now, everybody didn't get to write in the book of Nehemiah. Everybody's name is not called in the book of Nehemiah. But I'll guarantee you this, everybody that ever mixed any mortar, everybody that ever put a rock in that wall, everybody that ever stood up a gate, everybody that ever stood with a sword and a spear, everybody that ever washed the clothes of those that was on that wall working, everybody got a reward from the God of heaven coming for the work that they did. Amen. And I believe it's important that we see an opportunity in the work. The Bible said here, I builded the wall. If you look back to chapter number 4, there's a statement that ever since I think the first time I read through the book of Nehemiah that stuck out at me. In verse number 6 of chapter number 4, the Bible said, so we built the wall, and all the wall was joined together under the half thereof. And then it gives a little parenthesis, so to speak, a parenthetical statement. It said, for the people had a mind to work. Now, I'm going to make a statement tonight, and I know this will go out over the internet, and I know all that, but it's a true statement. Not long after that I was considering coming to Bible Way, and I'd already in my heart that God had showed me that this was the way I was coming. I was talking to my pastor, Brother Danny. I talked to him. And then not long after that, I don't know whether it was at church. It may have been at church. But this is what Brother Danny's wife said to me. She said, Brother Rick, those people at Bible Way are workers. Amen. That's what she said. She said, that was the workingest church in Kingsport. Amen. And she said, listen, let me say something to you tonight. That's a great testimony to have. Amen. That we want to be involved in the work of God. Let me say this to you tonight. There is no greater work in the whole wide world to be involved in than to be involved in the work of God. So there's an opportunity. And the Bible said here, for the people had a mind to work. I believe with all my heart tonight, nothing ever gets to the hands that didn't first get in the mind. Amen. And I believe that when God puts it in our heart and in our mind and it works out to our hands, He's pleased with that. A labor day, a work day. Amen. For the glory of God. There's an opportunity in the work. But now watch this. I want to give you two more things hurriedly, quickly tonight. I not only see in this chapter, chapter number 6, an opportunity in the work, but I want you to see this. I see opposition to the work. How many believes that as long as God's work is going, there'll always be opposition? Do you remember over there this morning? I mean, even the bread of life is on the scene. Amen. But Jesus is already warning and forewarning. I know who Judas is, and I know what he's up to. Amen. He's going to betray me. I'll tell you tonight, if you look here in the Word of God, the Bible said, look at it. Verse number 2. Sanballat and Geshem sent unto me, saying, come, let us meet together in some one of the villages in the plain of Ono. But they thought to do me mischief. I'm telling you tonight, friend, that the work of God cannot go forward without opposition. Amen. We can't believe, we can't even begin to believe tonight that Satan has changed his mind about the work of the living God in this generation. Amen. He will do everything in his power to hinder the work of God. He'll try to hinder our families. He'll try to hinder our children. He'll try to hinder every Sunday school class. He'll try to hinder the pastor. But thank God Almighty, there's a Bible that says, greater is he that's in us than he that's in the world. There's a Bible that says we're more than conquerors through him that loved us. There's a Bible said that thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. I will say this. We may lose a battle every once in a while, but I've done read the last chapter in the last book, and we win the war. Amen. And we ought to keep our head up. Amen. And understand, listen, there's opposition. Some people act like it's a strange thing when there's opposition. They really do. But listen, the Bible said, don't count it a strange, amen. The fiery trials will come. Opposition will come. There's opposition in the work. Let me just give you something right here quickly. There was a couple things. Number one, in this opposition, what did they want? What did the enemy want? They wanted the work to cease. Look in verse number 3. I sent messengers unto them. I'm doing a great work so that I cannot come down. Why should the work, what's that next word? How many believes if the enemy had his way, the work wouldn't just slow down, but the work would just absolutely stop? That's what he'd like to do, amen? And I believe with all of my heart that God wants us to understand that there will always be opposition to the work of God. He wants the work to cease. He wants the work to stop. But not only in the opposition does he want the work to cease, look at verse number 4. The Bible said here, in verse number 4, he also wants us to be weary. Look what in the Bible said, yet they sent unto me 4 times. And then you read in the next verse, they send somebody else the fifth time. What does that mean? That means that the devil, if he can't get you to stop, what he wants to do is just get you wore out. He's just going to keep on and keep on and keep on, amen, coming back and coming back. How many knows what I'm talking about, amen? Wouldn't it be good? Listen, Jesus was tempted of the devil. He went out into the wilderness, and he was led of the Spirit out in the wilderness. 40 days, 40 nights, he was out there. He come back, he was tempted of the devil, and he withstood the temptation. One, two, three times he withstood the temptation of the devil. And then the Bible said this, then the devil leaveth him. Does anybody know the next words? For a season. What's that mean? That means he will be back. He wants to weary. He wants to not only the work to cease, and he wants to weary us. He wants to wear out the saints. That's a scriptural term, amen. But then he wants to weaken us. Watch what the Bible said here. In verse number 9, I believe it is. For they all made us afraid, saying, their hands shall be weakened from the work, that it be not done. Now therefore, O God, strengthen my hands. Can I say this tonight? We have a God in heaven that can strengthen our heart, can strengthen our hands, even when the opposition is trying to weary us and trying to weaken us and trying to get the work to stop. I thank my God tonight that we have a God that's bigger than the enemy is. Amen. And so tonight, we see an opportunity in the work. We see opposition in the work. Go back to chapter number 4. Listen to the difference in chapter 4 and chapter 6. Chapter 4, verse 1 through 3. It came to pass when Sanballat heard that we builded the wall, he was wroth. He got mad. He took great indignation and he mocked the Jews. You say, well, preacher, what's the enemy do? Well, they mock you. Go ahead. You know, you expect that of the enemy. Say amen. You expect that of the enemy. That's what the enemy's supposed to be doing. They mock Jesus. But I'll tell you what, read the book of Proverbs chapter number 1. God said, I will laugh when their fear cometh. I will mock at their calamity. They've mocked our God for centuries. Amen. But there's coming a day when it'll be turned around. You can mark that down. Amen. Watch what the Bible said here. He took great indignation. He mocked the Jews. And he spake before his brethren and the army of Samaria and said, what do these feeble Jews? Will they fortify themselves? Will they sacrifice? Will they make an end in a day? Will they revive the stones out of the heaps of the rubbish which are burned? Now Tobiah the Ammonite was by him, and he said, even that which they build. Brother Houston, you were a mason for years and laid block and laid brick. What would it be like to have a wall going up, brother, out of 12-inch block and lining it up with brick and somebody walk up and say, well, if a fox run into that, it'd fall down, amen? I know what Brother Houston would have said. Let it set up for 30 minutes and bring your fox and we'll see, amen? I'm telling you, they were just mocking. They're just mocking the people of God, mocking the work of God. Anybody, a fox is not a big dog, amen? A fox, I'd say a fox probably don't weigh over 20 pounds, most of them. Maybe once in a while, you might get one weigh 25 pounds. That'd be a big fox. They're mostly hair. Amen? Let me tell you what the enemy is. Mostly air. That's exactly right. Just trying to discourage, trying to get people to stop. Amen? I know tonight, listen, I've been through it with him, and I'll go through it again. There's opportunity, and every time there's opportunity, there's opposition. They start out here saying, well, they're just mocking, but then they come over here, and now they're looking at it, and Brother Jeff, they see the wall going up. Oh boy, mocking ain't going to get it done anymore. So Nehemiah, come on down here. We need to talk, son. Amen? They went from mocking to talking. They wanted to talk to Nehemiah and get him to come down. Let me say this to you tonight. I'm not going to preach a whole lot right here. There's a whole lot of people that's done come down.
You know what I'm talking about. Amen. They got them some kind of new infected version. Say amen right there. They done come down. You know why? Because the enemy was saying, come down. Don't, you can't take that stand on the King James Bible and say that's the inerrant, inspired, infallible Word of God. Well, I just did, and I'll do it again. And by the grace of God, I'll do it till I get home. Amen. I'm not coming down. You say, well, preacher, there's a whole lot of people in this world more intelligent than you. Why don't somebody tell me something I don't already know? They might be more intelligent than I am. And I might look foolish, but I'm not coming down. They might be more intelligent than I am, and I might look foolish. But I tell you what, there ain't going to be no rock concerts going on this stage. Say amen right there. I tell you what, we're not going to bend and we're not going to compromise for this world. Amen. Oh, beloved friend, I'll just tell you right now. God wants us to stay up on the wall. Amen. I tell you what I believe with all my heart. This wall's built on the right foundation. That foundation is our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. He said, preacher, the old way won't get it done anymore. I'll just say it like this. If it won't, I know it will. But if it won't, it don't need to be done. Whatever that new way would do, it don't even need to be done. Amen. I believe God wants us to stay there. There's opportunity. There's opposition. You get over to chapter number 6 and they see the wall being built now. And they want, the enemy wants the man of God to come down. Let's talk about this for a little while. And we know that they're liars. We know that they fabricated this. Nehemiah chapter number 8. I mean chapter number 6 and verse number 8. He said, then I sent unto them, saying, there are no such things done as thou sayest, but thou feignest them out of thine own heart. You know, Brother Brian touched on it in Sunday school this morning. It's not just the book of Daniel. But if you'll stay up a little bit in current events, everything they dig up proves this precious old book to be the truth. They can keep digging. Say amen right there. Everything they dig up, it'll just prove. Let me say something to you tonight. It's been over 2,000 years since Jesus was here. Don't you reckon if a devil could have dug something up, amen, to get God's people to turn away from that old book, don't you reckon he'd have done dug it up, amen? I tell you, there's nothing to dig up, amen. It's a precious book. It's the precious Word of God. There's opposition in the work. Always has been. There always will be. Amen. But then let me give you this. I just want you to see this and I'm done. There's the omnipotent in the work. The omnipotent, the all-powerful God. In chapter 6 and verse number 3, the Bible said, I sent messengers unto them saying, I am doing a, what's that next two words? A great work. There's a synonym for great work. God's work. There's no greater work than God's work. Amen. Brother Wayne, you know and I know. You go into that jail, you go into a prison, you go into a penitentiary, you know that there's officers there and there's officials there that believe with all of their heart and soul and mind that you are wasting your time. That's exactly right. That's exactly right. But I'm going to tell you something right now about the work of God. You've never wasted your time doing the work of God. Listen to this verse of Scripture. The Bible said over there in 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse number 58, the Bible said there, wait a minute, I'm in the wrong book. Amen. No, that's the, be ye steadfast. Be ye therefore steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor in the Lord is not in vain. How many believes that tonight? It's not in vain. How many believes there will be times when it'll look like it's in vain? But it's not in vain. I'm going to take God's word for it, aren't you? I'm going to take the promise of the omnipotent God. In verse number, chapter 6 and verse number 3, he said it's a great work. In chapter 6 and verse number 16, here's what we find out. It was God's word. It came to pass that when all of our enemies heard thereof, and all the heathen that were about us saw these things, that they were much cast down in their own eyes. They got kind of depressed about it because they didn't want to see that wall finished. They didn't want to see that work finished. I want to ask you something. How depressed do you think the devil's going to be when God marches his bride out? Think about that for just a minute. Amen. How depressed do you think a devil's going to be when he's chained and he's bound for 1,000 years and thrown into that bottomless? I mean, well, I'm going to tell you what I believe depression's going to set in. Then he's going to be loosed for a season. And then God once and for all is going to throw him and all of his cohorts into hell. Never to bother us again. Praise his name tonight. He's the omnipotent God. It's his work. It's a great work because it's God's work. I don't know about you, but when I think about labor, I think about the work of God. Listen, you say, well, preacher, I'm not involved in ministry. Well, let me ask you a question. Do you read your Bible? Let me ask you another question. Do you tell anybody anything that God showed you in the Bible? Let me ask you another question. Do you pray? How many believe prayer is ministry? Let me ask you another question. Do you work with your hands? Let me ask you another question. Listen to me carefully right here. Do you make money? Let me ask you another question. Do you give money to the work of God? That's a dumb question around here. I told somebody a while back, I'm so proud of my church, amen. It's the only church I've ever pastored where the tithes made it back from vacation. We've went through the whole summer, amen, and the offerings have not dipped one bit, amen. Everywhere I've ever been, the tithes went to the beach and they never made it back. Let me say it like this. Christians don't go to the beach, they go to the coast. The tithes went to the coast and they never made it back, amen. How many knows what I'm talking about, amen? I thank God for that. What I'm trying to tell you is the devil will get you off in the corner and he'll say, well, you're not involved in ministry. You're not involved in ministry. You're involved in more ways than you can shake a stick at if you just look at it in the Word of God. And the devil, the opposition, wants to pull you away from the work. He wants to pull you down off of that wall. He said, come on down here, let me talk to you. You're young. Amen. Whole lot of things you could be into. Why in the world do you want to go down there? You're wasting your time. We'll see one day after a while who's wasting their time. Amen. We'll see one day after a while. Because in the work of God, time and talent and the tithe is never wasted in the work of God. Amen. When we give God our time, when we give God our talent, and we give God our tithe, that's not wasted in the work of God. Amen. Tonight I just want to encourage you to work on. Labor on. Put your shoulder to the wheel, to the plow, and plow on. Because the work is not finished. You say, preacher, when's it going to be finished? Well, for the church, when we hear him say, come up hither. Amen. Glory to God. And if you look in everything that's going on in the Middle East, and by the way, it'll be coming home before long. You can mark that down. That outfit ain't content to stay over there. They hate our guts. According to them, we're infidels. Ain't you glad that the truth ain't according to them? Amen. Listen tonight. Let's work on. One day soon, we'll hear the Lord say, that's enough. It's enough. Come on home. Come on home. I don't know about you tonight, but the older I get, the sweeter home looks. Amen. I say that from the bottom of my heart. It's because I believe that we understand the older we get, the more finite that we really are, and the more temporal that everything we have down here really is. Amen. May God help us to be involved in the work of God, to reach out and get somebody else. Amen. Say, come on in. Help us in the work of God. Let's pray together. Father, thank you tonight for the Word of God. Thank you for Nehemiah. Lord, that man of God set a good example for every one of us. Lord, I thank you for the people
that listened to Nehemiah and that walked with Nehemiah and helped Nehemiah carry his burden. God, I thank you for the folk that you've given us at Bible Way. God, that want to help us carry this burden. Want to help us, Lord, go into these highways and byways and knock on these doors. Lord, I know that, Father, you're going to give the increase. You already have, and you'll continue to. Lord, help us to realize, Lord, that you promised us over there. I believe it was in the book of Galatians, our Father, that, Lord, we need to work. We need to work. We don't need to be weary in well-doing. Lord, for you said in due season, we shall reap if we faint not. Help us, God, not to faint. I pray, Father, keep your hand on our precious people, on the church, on these young people tonight, Lord. And Lord, I pray they'd have a wonderful time of fellowship tonight. God, I pray you'd just add your blessings to it.